Peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you can't win, you know. You remember Flip Wilson from the 60s?
Yes.
Flip Wilson, so the devil made me do it. Well, you know, he's got a point, doesn't he? Well, I always thought he did. Well, today, temptation is our subject. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. And remember, this all happened right after his baptism. So Jesus was baptized, and immediately he was taken to the wilderness. And for 40 days, he had this trial. Now remember, 40 in the Bible deals with introspection and trials. All right, so there's not only the story about that, but the time period tells us that too. You know, fasting would be tough for 40 days, wouldn't it? But you couldn't make it without water for 40 days, could you? Okay. Now, it does say in one of the other Gospels that the angels ministered him while he was there. That's how he got his water. But he fasted for 40 days. Boy, I wish I could fast for 40 days. My friends, do we ever face temptation? It's like an alcoholic who goes to a party with all kinds of free booze. You know, it's, I've always seen those camels. You know, a camel can go 10 days without a drink, and so can I. But, you know, those kind of things would be tough. Or if you're on a diet on a cruise, and you go to the seafood buffet, and it's all you can eat, seafood, lobster, all this stuff. Boy, can't you see putting on 12 pounds during a cruise? You'd have to take a lot of stairs. Someone is ranting and raving about the church and turns to you and says, well, don't you agree? Someone is ranting and raving about the church and turns to you and says, well, don't you agree? Yeah, but the temptation to say yes is pretty tough, isn't it? It's those kind of things that we deal with every day. There's a gentleman by the name of Dutch Sheets who's a Christian apologist. All right, now remember when we talk about apologies in the church, we're not talking about, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? An apology, apologetics is to explain something, okay? Now it isn't really when you make an apology, you're trying to tell you why it happened. So it's an explanation. I like this though. Actually, Dr. Cream sent this to me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor, anti-Nazi dissident, and he died in a German concentration camp. By the way, he was hung 2 days before the armistice, the end of the war. An author of The Cost of Discipleship poignantly stated, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act. The great reformer and civil rights leader Martin Luther King said, to ignore evil is to become an accomplice to it. Sadly, these warnings are as appropriate and applicable to the Church of America today as at any time in history. For an evil beyond the scale of the Holocaust is underway. We have now moved from killing babies, dismembering them and selling their body parts, to murdering struggling infants that have survived the brutality of abortion. America's lost its soul. Temptation is to do nothing, isn't it? I don't know how many times people have said, well, I don't know what to do. And that's true, we don't. But anything you do is going to be good. It's easier just to go into our little hole and stay safe. But I think there's a great quote that speaks to that essay. And this is by Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke served in the House of Commons during the American Revolution. Great thinker. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Many of you know that that quote, don't you? Well, let's talk about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I've read The Cost of Discipleship, and he talks about what do you do when you're asked to give all, which he did. German pastor in World War II. He was a seminary professor in Germany. When the war started and the seminaries were outlawed, he came to the United States and started the seminary here, was a seminary professor here too, training pastors. But what was going on in Germany was evil. So about 1944, he decided he would go back to Germany. So he snuck back into Germany and started another seminary training pastors in a house. Now stop and think about that. Seminaries are outlawed, and he went back to Germany to do that. And as I said, he was hanged in a concentration camp 2 days before the armistice was signed. Why? Because he stood up and took a stand for something. He did what was right. Well, here's the question. What can we do? Aren't we powerless? You notice I'm talking a lot of law today, but sometimes you have to do that. My friends, not really. We're all powerful. One of the things that I love, you've heard me talking here before about the Lord of the Rings. And when Bilbo and the Hobbit goes out, he sings a song about any journey starts with a single step. Is that just as true for us too? All right, if you don't know what to do, do one thing. Because whatever you do is not going to be wrong. You know, you see something in the midst today, our cross. Jeff and I had a lot of fun putting this cross together this week. We got together Friday. This is nowhere like the plans I had drawn up. We had this, first of all, as a 6x6 piece of wood with a 6x6 cross beam that was lathed and put together and all this stuff. And then we get there and we found out that it would take two men and a boy just to pick up one piece of the wood, so that didn't work. So then we went to 4x4. That wouldn't work. Then we went to treated wood, and then we found out it emits something that you could be allergic to, and so if we had it in here, it won't work. So we did this. And then we're trying to figure a way to make it stand up. They had these bases there for umbrellas that were $80 and would handle 80 pounds. Well, how do you make it work? And so we were walking, trying to figure this out. I saw two sawhorses, and I thought, So I went over and moved the sawhorses, and they weren't moving because they got that big footprint. And so if you ever want to take a look at it, we cut two pieces of wood, hooked them in there, we filled in the gap, and it's not moving. You know, and it's just one of those things. It's not what we planned on, but was it good? You see what I'm getting at, folks? You can do all of this planning, okay, and then when you get out there, you know, you just make it. Look at the military. You know, I studied, you know, battle planning. When you get into planning a battle, contact for the enemy, your battle plan never comes out the way you planned it, right? Okay, so you've got to be flexible. And it's just like Jeff and I were really flexible when we put this together on Friday. But the thing is, do something, okay? And I don't care what it is. We talked about at our service on Ash Wednesday, which, by the way, we had 22 people here, which was really good for an Ash Wednesday service. And we did the litany. In fact, I sent out to the church council that litany we do. We are doing with the Society of the Holy Trinity on the last Monday and Tuesday of this month. And I'm leading the service for the opening service, the opening worship. And I'm chanting that service, and they chant it back. That's the way it is in the hymnal. So it's interesting how we do things like this. There's a group here called Lutherans for Life that battles abortion. And they're always looking for volunteers to speak to people. They have training that's free. There's something you can do. Jesus Loves You Ministry. We already support them. And I'll bet if you ever went over there on an afternoon and said, I got 2 hours, what do you want me to do? See what I'm getting at? When you give back, okay, it doesn't have to be fancy. What I started to talk about with our service on Ash Wednesday, instead of giving up something for Lent, do something for Lent. It's the same idea, but it's being proactive instead of inactive. See what I'm getting at? You know, and that's the thing is, why don't we pledge to do something? Isn't that fighting temptation? The temptation not to do something? I think so. Every week, there are opportunities published in the paper. You know, just pull it out and see if there's something there you would be interested in doing. One of the things I do all the time, if I'm out in a parking lot, especially at Walmart, Publix, and I see somebody that's elderly trying to put the groceries in the car, I'll just walk in and start helping them. Not once has anybody ever said, oh, don't touch my stuff. Usually it's, oh, thank you so much. You know, it's like paying it forward. You just do it one little thing at a time. Folks, I can guarantee you, you're not going to be rejected for trying to help anytime, right? I go and talk to people at Walmart, and I think in 8 years, once somebody's complained. Once. I had a friend by the name of Viola Detloff. Boy, there's a name for you. Vi. Grew up next door to her. A good German guy. Anyway, Vi was a sweetheart. Vi was 82 years old. And I saw her one day, she was walking down to the bus. She quit driving because she couldn't drive anymore, so she took the bus. And I said, Vi, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to go take the bus and go down to the Paxton Manor. And the Paxton Manor is a old folks home down in downtown Omaha. I said, what are you going down there for? She says, I go down once a week and take care of the old people. Everything is a state of mind, isn't it? You know, she's not old, she's just 82. But you see what I'm getting at? You're limited by what you can think of. Now today, we made a commitment to our Lord and put it on the cross. Okay? Who's this one? I don't know. Who's this one? I don't know. Who's this one? Who cares? You know. Right? But it's being that proactive and making a commitment. Well, if it could make a commitment here and it didn't hurt you, can you make a commitment out in the real world? Well, I think so. I think so. Does God give back to us? What does the Bible say? Whatever we give to the Lord, He gives back tenfold. Okay? So our temptation is to not do something. So pick one thing. You know, you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be a lot. Just pick one thing and do it. Think about Jesus. Did He question the thing He had to do? Yes. Garden of Gethsemane. Father, take this cup from me. You know, God, I'm a man, right? That means I'm going to have to go to that cross. I'm going to have to suffer all that pain. Nobody in his right mind is going to want to go do that, is he? Even Jesus said, I don't know if I can do this. Well, he did. Thank God he did. Was he tempted in the wilderness? Of course he was. But how did he respond? And this is what I find very interesting. He quotes scripture, doesn't he? It is written. So the word of life is the word of God, and it's written down. I know a lot of you read the Bible. A lot of you are just getting into reading the Bible for the first time. But when you do, he's speaking to you. What does he ask us to do? Well, on my sermon today, as I said, is a lot of law. But do you have to do this? No, you want to. And that's the thing. We want to help people. We want to give back to Jesus for what he's done for us. When the devil wants you to do something you do not wish to do. Okay? When he's saying that, oh, you don't want to do that, right? Okay. Because what good is it going to do? What happened when Peter said that to Jesus? What did Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because that was Satan talking to him right there. No, you can do whatever you want to. So, let evil be behind you, and let good and God be in front of you. Just remember what Bonhoeffer gave in his service to God. When he was tempted to give up, I mean, he could have stayed in the United States, couldn't he? Been safe. What did he choose to do? The easy path or the hard path? All right, thank God that our culture is not that if we're a Christian, we could be killed like that. Who knows what's going to happen in the future the way things are going. Could that be our lesson for today? I think so. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing. May this service to our Lord and Savior keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.